Hey, podcast listeners. The Journal is excited to announce a brand new podcast series launching Friday, May 19th, called The Future of Everything. On the show, we'll explore how science and technology are revolutionizing everything from business and industry to culture and society. The Future of Everything podcast is sponsored by Slack. Companies all over the world depend on Slack every day to get everything done. Slack, where work happens. We look forward to you joining us as we embark on this exciting new series. So be sure to subscribe now by visiting wsj.com/podcasts or visit the Future of Everything page on your podcast app.
In modern cyber war, the spies can become targets too.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. The mysterious hacking group that supplied a critical component of the WannaCry ransomware attack has been releasing alleged National Security Agency secrets for the past 8 months. Former intelligence officials now fear that the hackers, who go by the name Shadow Brokers, are taking a new tack, exposing the identities of the NSA's computer hacking team. Here with the latest on the story is the Wall Street Journal's Robert McMillan joining us from our San Francisco booth. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Tanya.
So what do we know about this mysterious hacking group that released these computer espionage secrets from the NSA? What do we know?
Well, the Shadow Brokers appeared in August of last year. This was a time when we were hearing all kinds of leakers like Guccifer 2.0.
And
they were, you know, a lot of these groups sort of didn't feel real, if you know what I mean, to people that are used to dealing with hacking groups like a collective, like Anonymous or things like that. There's something sort of artificial about them. And what was unusual about the Shadow Brokers was they offered this auction of NSA secret documents. They asked for like a crazy amount of money, like a million bitcoins, and they said they weren't really going to promise that anybody who paid that money would actually get the documents. And there was almost like a nudge, nudge, wink, wink, we're pretending to be this, but everybody knows we're something else,
right?
Kind of element to it. Now, many people suspected that this was a Russian-backed operation designed to warn the NSA or scare the NSA or intimidate them in some way. Nobody knows who the Shadow Brokers are. It's just that they're unusual.
And how did we discover this, and how does this trace back to WannaCry ransomware?
At first, there was some debate about how many, you know, the quality of the documents they had. They released some networking attack code back in August, and they kept their releases up. In April, they released a big stash of really significant NSA documents and code that could be used to create software attacks.
Okay.
And there were two components in the April release that people that really understand this stuff tell me made it just super easy for anybody to build a tool that could break into a Windows computer using this code. And so what happened was whoever was behind WannaCry took this component. It was almost like you could almost think of it like a warhead on a missile. They took this one component to kind of break into the computers, and then they used their own software to hold those computers for ransom. Now, one thing I should point out is that Microsoft in March, so a month before this code was even released by the Shadow Brokers, this warhead type code, they had patched the vulnerability. So the only people that were hit by this WannaCry attack were people who hadn't applied the patches, or people who were running a version of Windows that no longer got software patches.
So now the concern is that these hackers could expose the actual identities of the NSA's computer hacking team. What would that mean for government experts like these?
Yes, the Shadow Brokers, again, this group that is maybe sending a signal to the NSA. And what they did was, and it's hard to tell if they did this on purpose or they did it because they were sloppy or what. But they, if you look in the metadata, like if you open a Windows document, sometimes you can get to a page, if you look for more info on that document, you can get to a page that shows you who wrote it, who edited it, when that happened, things like that. Well, in some of the documents that this mysterious group, the Shadow Brokers, released, there is metadata that names people, presumably NSA agents who created those documents. The people that I interviewed for my story said this is a really bad thing because increasingly we're seeing individuals being held accountable for work that they might do on behalf of the government. So in the United States, we've indicted Chinese military hackers in 2014 for stealing economic secrets. Well, from the perspective of the hackers, maybe they were just doing government work and they should be perhaps excluded from criminal charges because the rules of engagement here are very murky, but there's a sense that if you're just working for the government, it's not the same as if you're a for-profit hacker who's breaking into banks and things like that.
Right.
So the concern is that now that the names are out of the people and they're associated with certain attack tools or operations or whatever these documents refer to, that they themselves might be, if they travel to another country, they might be questioned or they might be arrested or they might be considered to be hackers, just like we've considered the Chinese military cyber operators to be hackers.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Robert McMillan. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
You rely on The Wall Street Journal for informed market insights and news coverage. Now let WSJ Wine give you the inside track to the world's smartest wine buys, delivered conveniently to your door. Highlights of your first case include a 99-point Super Tuscan and a gold medal Bordeaux from the exceptional 2015 vintage. Order now to receive over $100 in savings and free shipping. Simply go to wsjwine.com/sip or call 877-WSJ-WINE.
Thank you for joining us. So what happens now? Can we expect any follow-up or official word from the U.S. government? Have we yet?
No. The NSA is not commenting on this. There may be at some point a high-level discussion about norms and cyber policy. It feels increasingly like over the last year we've moved into all this new area of activity where what is acceptable and what is not acceptable is not clearly spelled out. You know, what are the sort of Geneva Convention of cyber warfare? What does that allow for and what does that prohibit? We don't really know what that's going to look like. Microsoft is calling for some guidance in this area, and I think other people will likely echo that, especially as we continue to see more of these unprecedented type of events.
Yeah, it's new territory, and it's all happening so quickly. Bob, thanks as always.
Hey, Tanya, my pleasure.
For more on reporter Robert McMillan's story, head to wsj.com/tech. Wrapping up this tech news briefing for now, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.